container?
Chapstick. Like, take out the chapstick or use it up, then roll up your money and put it in there.
That is so shady.
Why?
Who are you hiding it from?
I don't, robbers. I don't know. So, like, if you have a swim bag and it's just got some chapstick in it, they're not going to try to take all your money.
That's
That's just,
true.
why is that
That's true.
shady all of a sudden? It's intelligent.
I think hiding money is shady, period.
Okay. Well, if it's your money, then I don't think it's shady.
Well, you're hiding it from someone. I guess I'm thinking like you're hiding it from your husband, or I don't know, you're stealing it from work and you put it in a chapstick container.
You've gone a whole different direction with this.
I guess maybe I used to be shady or
No,
something.
like, okay, so you're going to the pool, you leave your stuff, and I am always, I never have quarters for the dumb lockers, so I'm always just leaving my stuff around and hoping for the best.
I hear you.
Do you?
I'm gonna pass on that one, but just because I feel like I still feel like it's shady. And
Okay.
I don't want to be forced to steal from work.
Okay,
What?
sorry I brought it up. Don't steal from work on second thought. This is Emily Thomas, and you're listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast. Do I say podcast after that? This is all so weird. Hey, ladies, welcome back. You are listening to the Struggle Well Project, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. Before we start, I wanted to remind you that at the top of the show, you heard my sister tell me I'm shady, even when I'm not. I'm just making good choices and being wise, and she feels like I'm up to no good. So, Katie and I make additional, special, exclusive backstage content for supporters of the show. So, if you are interested in more episodes from me and my sister, or if you just love the show and you want to support it with a couple bucks a month, we would love to have you join us. Actually, just last week, she sent out a bunch of decals of the Struggle Well Project logo to Patreon supporters. They're so cute. She came up with that her own self. She's darling. So to get in on that action, head over to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and start listening to all the episodes we've released up to this point. So now I want to highlight one of the lovely humans who reviewed the show this week. Ember T13 said, "I'm only one episode in and I love it. I got so much out of the first episode I listened to. So many amazing nuggets, so much wisdom, and so much fun. Check it out. It will be worth your time." Ember, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I don't even know which episode you listened to, but I think you picked the right one. Way to go. And also, I wish my name was Ember. That is such a cool name. Mom, do you hear that? You should have named me Ember. Ladies, I know that there are approximately 7 gazillion podcasts. Your reviews show the struggling woman, the struggling women before her, have found this to be a worthwhile use of their time. So help me help her by leaving your review on the Apple Podcast app. So last Monday, the topic was planting and celebrating, and Jess Connolly and I talked about personalities, church planting, parenting, and the Kardashians. We had a great time together, so download that one for sure and check it out if you missed it. This is episode 149, and I am talking to my friend Christelle Acevedo. She is a wife, mom, writer, and an immigrant. Her and her husband recently moved to the Carolinas from Miami, and we talked about what is that like when God calls you to leave a place that you love. We talked about the phenomenal story of her parents' immigration from Nicaragua. We also cover depression, counseling, and Cuban-inspired ice cream flavors. I don't know about you, but I love creative ice cream flavors. I did just want to add that I record all these interviews in batches. And so, like, right now, it's the end of August, but I've recorded through December. So, in this recording, we're talking about the very last day of school. And we've already gone through the summer, and the kids are back in school. So, don't be confused. You haven't time traveled. You were not in a coma, and you accidentally missed the whole school year. This interview was just recorded a while ago. Alrighty, let's jump right in. Hey, Christelle, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Of course, I'm getting a phone call right now. The school, it's our last day of school. They're about to get out of school. And they, the school likes to send messages, like making sure that you're going to pick the kid up for a half day. Because, like, none of the
Oh,
teachers
yeah.
want to be stuck there, you know?
Well, that's good because our kids' school doesn't do that.
Okay.
But so far, I haven't forgotten ever. So
I
that's
almost forget every day of like a regular day.
good.
But my daughter said, "Okay, I need you to write down on a piece of paper that you're coming to pick me up at 12." And that was my homework to have
my
you.
My daughter does that to me. She's okay. always like, you need to write it down on a paper. Okay. Write it down. So okay. you don't forget.
Yeah. But that was the teacher's homework assignment was have your parents write down on a paper that they will come get you at 12. She's like, cause I am out of here.
Yeah. I'm sure she's done.
I'm she sure. Ready. Bless them. Okay. So tell us about yourself. Who are you really?
Who am I really? Oof, yeah. That's deep. Okay, well, I'm Christelle. I'm married. I've been married. Actually, yesterday was our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Wow, you so got married young, too.
Yes, we were young. We were babies. We were like 22. I had just turned 23. My husband was still 22. Wow. He married an older woman.
Yeah, he did.
And then, yeah, so we've been married 10 years. We celebrated. And then today we're packing because we live in Miami, but we're moving to South Carolina.
I know. I can't wait to talk about
working.
That. So he's already gone to South Carolina, right?
Yeah. He left in April, like right after Easter, he left. Wow. And he started his new job. And so I've been with the kids because I didn't want to take them out of school. Okay. So that's been fun and interesting. And then now he came back yesterday for our anniversary. We celebrated. And today is like, let's do it. Let's pack up the house and get going.
Okay. So what'd you do for your anniversary?
So he actually surprised me because I didn't know he was coming. I thought he wasn't coming until today.
Aww.
So I was at home and then he calls me. He's like, oh, go see if there's a package outside. I'm like, all right. And I open it and he's there. So he surprised me, which was really awesome. And then our friends took our kids for the evening and they had a sleepover at their house. And so we got to go out to dinner downtown. And then we went to this really amazing ice cream shop. Miami's a special place. So we went to this special ice cream shop called Azúcar, which means sugar in Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's like a big Celia Cruz, who's like a salsa singer, performer. Okay. That was like her catchphrase, Azúcar. So then it's like a whole ice cream shop that has like special Spanish and like mostly Cuban inspired flavors.
Fun.
So it was like a very Miami date because it's like our last date in Miami before we moved. So we had to make it very Miami, you know?
I love that. But okay, yeah. I'm so interested. Cuban inspired ice cream flavors. What are some
yes.
of those?
Okay, like guava.
Okay.
Like guayaba, guava. They have avocado.
No, I love avocado. Yes. Okay.
And then they have a plátano, which is like plantains.
Yeah, like banana-ish.
Plantains. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all kinds of stuff.
And do they have like spicy, like with jalapenos in it or something like that?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. I don't know why I think it's gonna be...
I'm not super into spicy, so.
Okay. Wow, that's so fun. We have one kind of like an ice cream type shop. I don't know if they would call it ice cream, but by our house, but it's kind of more Eastern. So there's like cardamom and like chai and all kinds of interesting stuff. And I love different types of ice cream. So
me too.
Fun.
I love all ice cream.
I know. It's good. So you told me that your family came from Nicaragua originally. Mm-hmm. Your parents were immigrants.
Yes, actually. So there was a big civil war in Nicaragua in the 80s.
Okay.
And my mom was 9 months pregnant with me.
My goodness.
And she had my sister. My sister was almost 4 years old. And so it was a whole, like, their story is just amazing and inspiring. But basically, they couldn't come to the United States together because then they wouldn't be allowed to enter. You know, like, they weren't letting families in because they were like, hey, you know, are you here to visit or to stay, basically, you know?
Okay.
Very suspicious. So my dad had to go separate. My mom had to fly separately with my sister and her big belly.
Oh, man.
And she actually had to walk because we were in Honduras. I was born in Honduras because they left Nicaragua. But what happened was my mom was 9 months pregnant and they wouldn't drive to the border because it was very dangerous. So she had to walk at 9 months pregnant from Nicaragua to Honduras.
How far
is
that?
And then I was born.
I have no idea.
I mean, they're neighboring countries. But
still.
She's 9 months pregnant. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't walk to the grocery store probably.
Right?
Wow.
And so I was born and then a few months later, we came to Miami. And my dad came into the United States through Texas, and my mom came to Miami. It was a whole thing. Like, my dad was deported, and then he was able to come back. Like, it was a whole thing. But finally, after some time, we were all together in Miami, and I've grown up in Miami.
Okay. So you guys leaving is a really big deal. Like, I know you've done some other things in other places, but you guys moving away is a big deal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Actually, when we first got married, my husband and I moved to North Carolina because I went to school there.
Okay.
And then we moved to Colorado to do a church plant and our son was born. And I was like, I need my mom. So I came back. We moved back to Miami because I was just, you know, that new mom like fog where you really don't know what you're doing. And I just felt very overwhelmed. So we came back to Miami and it was like a sanctuary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like our family took us in, our friends have been amazing. And we've just formed some deep bonds. And like, I have a new appreciation for this place. Cause I think the first time we left, I was like, forget it, Miami. I'm so over it. It's overcrowded and I don't want to be here. But then coming back was very humbling. Mm-hmm. And then I just have like such a love for this place.
Yeah.
And so leaving, I know it was the right decision for our family because God just opened up the doors and it was just so clear. And my husband and I were on the same page that this is where we need to go. But it is harder because then, you know, our family, there's no replacing that. And there's no replacing the friendships that we made because our friends are like our family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is hard, but it's also like just a sense of peace. We're like, it's going to be okay. And I know that we have such a bond that it doesn't matter where we live.
Yeah.
We're going to be close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're going to visit. We're going to come visit here. We're going to be constantly in communication. So,
yeah. So if you watch my stories on Instagram, you are going to know that I love a company called Thread Up. I even love their tagline, secondhand clothes, firsthand fun. It's so true. And recently they started these things called goodie boxes, where you get to put in the types of clothes you like, your sizes, and they just fill a box full of used clothes, send them to your house, you get to try them on, and then you just send back what you don't like. And y'all, these clothes are super cute. And besides, it's really fun to try on things that you wouldn't normally pick out. I have found a lot of really fun pieces that I never would have tried on in the store. So ThreadUp wants to offer Struggle Well Project listeners 25% off of items $50 and under, but only till September 15th. So head to threadup.com and fill that shopping cart full of really cute clothes. And then at checkout, enter promo code SWP. That stands for Struggle Well Project. So for 25% off anything $50 and under, go to threadup.com. That's threedup.com. There's no A. And then enter promo code SWP at checkout. Can I go real fast back to the immigrant thing and just ask you, like, how did that impact you growing up? And how does that color your, like, view of the whole immigrant situation? Like, what do people need to know about immigrants?
Okay, so immigrants are the most hardworking and grateful people that I've ever met. You know, like, I think sometimes there's this false perception that immigrants are criminals or immigrants are looking for a handout or they're just looking for an easy way out. But there's nothing easy about starting over in a new country where you don't know anybody, where you don't know the language. Like, there's nothing easy about that. You
and
know?
You have, like, 6 months of help or something, as if that gets you any...
I mean, my parents had, like, they did what they had to do to survive, and I'm just in awe of them. You know what I mean? Like, they never asked for anything. Like, they just worked their butts off, basically, so that they could provide for us, you know? And even, like, the things that they did that were maybe, you know, quote-unquote illegal, like, to me, I just think are amazing because when they first came to the United States, they were granted political asylum. So they were here legally, but, you know, like there were certain restrictions. Like they didn't have a work visa yet. But obviously they had to work. They have a little girl and a little baby, you know?
What were they supposed to do?
I don't know. Just wait around for the government, you know? Like, gosh. I don't even, yeah, it's crazy. Like, just stay with people. I don't know. Like, they rely on the kindness of strangers, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, but so they didn't have work visas, but so what they did was they used the identity of my mother's uncle and his wife. Like they took on their identities, like their names to apply for jobs and they both got hired. They're both architects. So they both got hired in different architecture firms and started working. And then so my dad was going by the name Jose, like for the longest time at his job. And then finally they were able to start working like under their own names. Mm-hmm. So he like went to his boss and he was like, hey, so just so you know,
funny thing,
my name is not Jose. My name is Danilo. And this is what happened. And he explained to him, he's like, listen, I understand that if you don't want me to work here anymore and you want to fire me, I understand. And I accept that there's no hard feelings. And my boss was like, okay, you know what? Jose is fired from this job, but Danilo is hired and he's going to start tomorrow.
I love that.
So like, yeah. So his boss was totally cool and understanding and he was able to keep working there. And like, that was such a blessing, obviously, for our family, because, you know, like, I think also Miami is also a place where there's so many immigrants, you know what I mean? Like, there are people come from all over the world, and especially at that specific time, there was a lot of people leaving Nicaragua because it was such a horrible situation. And so there was like an influx of people. And I think there's just like this understanding for the most part of like, yeah, we're all here together and we're going to help each other out and we're going to do what we can. What do you need? You know, how can we help you? How can you help us? You know?
Yeah.
So just good. Seeing that is just amazing.
So you guys are going to South Carolina because you mm-hmm. love this church. It's very intergenerational and very multicultural. And so mm-hmm. You're talking about where you are. That's just kind of a known thing. Everybody sees the beauty of it.
Right.
Everybody sees the importance of it. What's working about it in South Carolina? Like, how do you make that a thing when it isn't necessarily a thing all around you?
Well, that's what I'm like so interested to see, because I think for a while my husband and I were thinking like that we wanted to move, that Miami wasn't the place for our family. But I, like, just being totally honest, I was like, babe, I don't want to go and move somewhere to a church that's all white. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Nothing against anyone, but I didn't want to be the only like Hispanic or the only person of color in
right.
an entire church, you know, because
and if we're all honest, we all don't want to be the one that doesn't fit in with anybody. I mean, that's
exactly.
absolutely regular. Yes.
Yeah. So then that was just kind of always in my head, like, you know, like, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll look at different places. But then I don't know, babe, because I didn't think that this existed elsewhere outside of Miami, you know.
Yeah.
So then when I started seeing this church, I was like, wow, like, you know, they have a lot of different, like, they're very diverse. Like, their staff is very diverse. And, mm-hmm. like, I had a couple of different friends that go to the church and they would, like, you know, post pictures or videos on Instagram. And I was just very interested. And then the more I dug into it, I realized that they truly are, like, they don't just talk the talk. Like, they truly mm-hmm. walk the walk of being multicultural and just diverse and making that a priority. And to me, that's just so impressive because I just don't see that happening a lot in the South. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. I even like churches who want to be there, like, they're just not there yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people are waking up to this idea and this necessity of the church to be multi-ethnic mm-hmm. but they're just not sure how to get
there. How do you make that jump? Yeah,
exactly. And so I think seeing this church that really truly is diverse, I want to go there and I want to learn, like, how have you guys been able to do this and make it so that it's been successful, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like in Miami, it's kind of, not to take anything away from Miami, but it's easy to be diverse here because there are so many different kinds of people. And it just happens, like, you're not going to walk a block without hearing someone speaking in Spanish or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
this is not going to happen. But in the South, like, that's just, you yeah. know,
it takes intentionality.
Exactly. It takes intentionality. And so I'm really interested to go and learn and because I think also another thing is that in Miami, you don't realize that you're a minority. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of minorities here we're the majority, honestly, like, mm-hmm. especially Hispanics, you know, we're the majority here. And so we don't understand sometimes the things that are happening in the rest of the country because we don't feel it here.
Okay.
But I want to acknowledge that things are happening in our country that are very hurtful and very dangerous for people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be a help
yeah.
as a person of color, as someone who comes from a diverse background,
yeah.
as someone who has the immigrant experience, as someone who's a woman, as someone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting then that you're moving away from that is actually going to be, you're moving into a harder situation.
Definitely,
like a place where you have the opportunity to be that voice
mm-hmm.
in a place that it may not be well received. Not that people are, I don't know. Most people, I think, are not openly against that, except
right.
that it makes them uncomfortable. And so they
yeah.
don't go towards it, you know, naturally.
Right.
Or whatever. But, okay. So I recently had an experience where, like, my kid's school, the neighborhood that we live in, it's a very diverse school. It's a new school for us. We switched, like, 2 months ago from a private Christian school. And so we're invited to birthday parties, and we've invited people over every single week. No one has ever come.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't love that because I'm like, hold it. Look at
yeah.
me. I'm reaching out. I want to know you. Nobody wants
right.
to know us. But anyway, so we went to a birthday I went to a birthday party, and I was trying to talk to everybody there. And I think I was the only white person there. I'm not really sure, but yeah, it's fine. Nobody would talk mm-hmm. to me. And I told my daughter, I'm like, listen, I'm going to pick you up in like 45 minutes. She goes, well, why don't you just go like say hi to people. I'm like, I have been. This is so awkward. I'm like standing by myself. Like, it's like a junior
right.
high dance, but I'm the only one not dancing. So it's awkward for everybody. And I wish I could have said that I like stuck it out, but I just went to Starbucks for a minute. But I did try. Well,
sometimes you need a Starbucks.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just think I'm so proud of you for doing that because it's hard and it would be so much easier for you to stay where you've always been and where you fit, you know? How do you think that's going to be? I know you don't know yet because you haven't left, but do you have any plans for what that's going to be like for your kids and how you're going to, have you talked to them about how?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, something that I really appreciate, well, from what my husband has said since he's been there for 2 months, he says that people are very, like, open. Like, they just talk about it. Because, you know, usually it is awkward, like, saying, like, so what's it like, you know, when you heard about that this thing happened in the news? You know what I mean? Yeah. But people are just like, this happened in the news. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Good. Or, like, even, like our last name is Acevedo.
Yeah.
And the joke that we've always got in our entire marriage was like, oh, like avocado, right? Acevedo, avocado, you know? And so that's like the running joke. I don't know why.
Not like that at all.
Yeah. But he said that he was at his job and one of the ladies that works there said, like, you know, I can't pronounce your name, but can I just call you Ace Vito instead of Acevedo? And he's like, no, you can't. You know, like he just straight up told her, like, instead of saying, sure, whatever, because that's kind of like, we want to make people feel comfortable. Mm. Like he just said, no, like that's not my name. My name is not Ace Vito. My name is Acevedo, you know?
Yeah.
And so and then someone else that works there kind of called her out, like, you just don't want to say his real name because it's uncomfortable for you to try to remember and try to like make your mouth say something that's not used to saying, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to put in the work. Like that's their name and you're going to have to like, and she's like, yeah. And she was great about it. Like, she wasn't at all like offended or anything. Like, and it wasn't like in a shameful way. It was just like calling people out on their like little things like that. Like, it's not like overt racism or anything like that, but it's just like little things. Like, how can we love each other? Even if it's as simple as learning to pronounce your name correctly. You know what I mean?
It's simple and yet also so important.
Right. So then I think in terms of like my children, kind of preparing them for like, look, there's going to be a lot of different kinds of people. And I've even already told them because we watched this service online. I'm like, hey, look, you know, the pastor is black. His wife is white. Like they're an interracial couple. And like, we've talked about stuff like that, about how in the past, like that just didn't happen. Like you were not allowed to marry outside of your ethnic background. And it was very frowned upon, or people like sometimes hated you because of your skin color. Like we've had some of those hard conversations, you know, and just kind of preparing them for that. And it's just funny because they're kids and they're so innocent and they're like, oh, but why? Like, why would they do? Like, who cares? Like, you know, like they just don't understand like why it's a big deal, which is fantastic. You know,
yes.
I'm so glad that they have that heart, you know, that they're like, everyone is the same and everyone should be loved no matter what.
That's a lot. That's a lot of big conversations and I'm glad.
Oh yeah. But it's fun. I think it's so, cause like, I think in the past I've kind of shied away from talking about hard things with my kids because I just want them to be innocent and believe that the world is so beautiful and perfect and great. But I realized that that's kind of coming from a place of privilege because there's a lot of kids who don't have that luxury of thinking that the world is so bright and shiny. You know what I mean? Because they, even at a young age, they've lived through hard things. And so I don't want to like shield my kids from that kind of stuff. You know, I want them to understand that things happen and that they're not great, but we can be better, you know, and we can love people. And even like my son and I have been reading this book called Wonder. It's huge. It was made into a movie. Yeah. But the little boy who's, you know, has facial abnormalities is picked on or even sometimes hated by other kids. And just being able to talk to my son about that and how sometimes kids are different from us, but how we should love them anyway. And like, even like he's like just astounded, like, but they made fun of him, but they like tried to beat him up. Like, he's like, he doesn't understand that because he's never had to live through that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, sometimes people are mean. Sometimes they're afraid of what they don't understand and they say things that are hurtful. And how do we deal with that? And it's a lot, but it's also like so awesome to be able to talk about those things. Cause I don't want to wait. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to wait till something happens. Like, I want them to go in prepared for the fact that someone might call them a name or make fun of them or whatever. Like, I want them to know, like, why is that person doing that? How should I react? You know what I'm saying? So
it's hard. My fear would be that they would get kind of angry or resentful ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just hard, no matter what. Because you want them to be prepared, but you don't want them to have decided everybody's against you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that's another thing. Like, I want them... It's such a delicate balance. And it's such a... It's a lot of talking. Like, there's so... Like, yeah, it's so much conversation all the time. And just letting them be open and, like, asking them questions and constantly... I feel like I've been talking so much with my kids, especially in recent weeks, you know, just about all kinds of stuff. And I think it's good because I think kids really are open and receptive. And at least my kids, I see that they really do have, like, loving hearts. Maybe it's because of the foundation that they've had, like, from the time they've been little. Like, we've always talked about the Bible and read the Bible and gone to church. And they have our friends and our family are amazing people that really love our kids and really just, like, treat them like their own. And so I think they've have felt so much love from so many different people and places that they're just filled up with it. And so they see people with love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the one hand, that's why they're so, like, in disbelief of, like, there's mean people out there, what? But at the same time, like, I want them to know that it's not the majority of people, but yeah, maybe someone will be mean to you someday. You know what happens? Yeah. People were mean to me when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And I think everyone experiences it, and I just don't want them to be, like, in total shock if it happens.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's just,
It's definitely a balance.
Yes. I want to say a special thank you to Green Chef for being one of the sponsors of today's show. So Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company. Green Chef sends a wide variety of organic ingredients and imaginative new recipes each week. The ingredients are pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped for you. Green Chef expert chefs design recipes with gourmet flavor that you typically only find in restaurants. They sent me several recipes, and my favorite one was an Asian meatball noodle bowl. The spices were right on, and everyone in the family loved it. Green Chef thinks that dinner should be planned around your life, not the other way around. That's why their recipes include pre-made sauces, dressings, and spices, so you get more flavor in less time. So let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you. So for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/MSW. Again, that's $50 off your first box of Green Chef at greenchef.us/MSW. Hey, since you're listening to this right now, you know your phone is by you. Go ahead and snap a picture, post it on Instagram or Facebook, tag me in it, and let me know what you're doing while you listen to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I am always sharing my life with y'all. It's time for you to do the same. Did you like that guilt trip? I was trying to lay it on pretty thick. But really, I would love to see what you're up to when you listen to the show. So snap that selfie and tag Mom Struggling Well. Okay, so you have a degree in biblical counseling.
Yes.
My bachelor's was in psychology, and I was considering going to get a master's in counseling, and I never did. I ended up getting it in education. But my experience with going to a Christian college and studying psychology was not great. That was just my experience. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, like, how have you kind of married the two, the Bible and psychology? Because I believe there's a way to do it. The way that I saw it, it was more like oil and water, and it didn't mix very well. So talk to me about that, because I think on my show, we talk a lot about counseling and the importance of counseling and how vital it is. And I go to a counselor. She's a Christian counselor. I love the Bible, but I also think you need more than just a bunch of verses sometimes,
right?
When you've got some major stuff going on. So talk to me about that, because I know there's a lot of Christians who are like, that's a bad idea.
Well, the way
I would like you to talk about all the landmine issues right now, if you don't mind.
Well, the way I see it is there are different degrees of problems that we deal with, especially, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, physiologically. And sometimes the right answer is to read the Bible and be comforted by God's word and just kind of glean from that. And that's perfectly okay. And a lot of people, like, that's all they need. But then there are some times when we have certain issues that we're dealing with that are beyond, because maybe they're physiological. Maybe there's a chemical imbalance. Maybe there's a traumatic event in our lives that we can't grapple with because we just don't have the wherewithal. You know, like, there's just different situations. And then I think sometimes in those situations, we do need the help from a mental health professional, you know, and someone who has tools. And a lot of times, sometimes we need we need the medication or we need these tools that we use from psychology to like get a handle on it. And then once we get kind of like have a handle on it, then we can begin to really read the Bible with open eyes and open hearts and really understand it. Because if you're like outside of your mind, you can't understand God's word. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you have this problem where like you are just so depressed that you can't even like see anything, like I feel like people who have never like been depressed have no idea what depression is really like.
Right.
And so I think they don't see, maybe they don't understand that when you're depressed, there's like a blanket over your eyes. And how are you going to like read God's word with a blanket over your eyes? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we need like the help of a medication or the help of a certain type of therapy to remove the blanket. And then we can begin to like read God's word and really take from it what we need. And the Holy Spirit can really begin to do a work. I would never discount the power of the Holy Spirit or the power of God's word, because I think it's the most. But like I said, sometimes you just need the help. And maybe sometimes you can't even do it yourself, like because you're just so depressed or so manic or so whatever it is that you're going through, mm-hmm. that you just can't even focus. And you need the help of someone else to like guide you there.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of like community. God doesn't want us to do life on our own. Like God yeah. has us in community for a reason. And sometimes our community includes a psychologist or a counselor or a therapist or a pastor or someone to guide us and help us to see what we can't see.
And what a different experience when you kind of embrace that as this is part of my community instead of, mm-hmm. I think the church likes to, you know, don't go, but if you have to go, don't talk about it. For heaven's sakes, don't tell anybody you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so important.
Are you practicing counseling currently?
No.
Okay. I didn't know with little kids and moving and all that kind of stuff.
No, actually, the funny thing is I got pregnant right after I graduated from seminary and we moved to Colorado and then I got pregnant again and then we moved to Miami and then...
Do you think you'll ever pursue it or you don't know?
I don't know. Like part of me is interested, but I think I'm kind of interested now on a different level. Like I don't see myself doing intense counseling, like someone who's dealing with issues like maybe they're manic depressive or maybe they're, you know, like issues like that or like schizophrenia, stuff like that. That's like really deep. Mm-hmm. Like I don't see myself dealing so much with that. I think I have more of a passion of teaching God's word and I see myself as more on that side of things.
So like in what capacity? The church maybe or like speaking at events or what?
Yeah, I think I have a real passion for the local church. I think the local church is the vehicle in which God calls us to do ministry, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. He established the church in order to reach the world. And whether I'm like, quote unquote, working for a church or volunteering or whatever you want to call it, like I'm always going to be very involved in my local church in some capacity. In our church here in Miami, I was serving as a small groups director for our Coral Gables campus. And so in that way, I was able to coach all the small group leaders and kind of if they had questions about like, well, what do I do? Like my small group's in a slump, like how can I move beyond this? And I would like kind of help them out. I would guide them to different resources. Then we had like a women's gathering that I was able to lead and like just put together with a team of women. And I was able to speak at those events. Always our main focus at those gatherings was talking about discipleship. Talking about like the basics and like how important discipleship is and how important community is, you know, how important it is to really be in God's word every day and to really study the Bible and understand it, how important it is to be in prayer because we can't do anything without prayer, you know?
Yeah.
And so I see myself more on that side of things, like kind of discipling people one-on-one or like in small group settings and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see.
It's good.
Where it goes now that we're moving.
I know it's all going to change. Yeah. How exciting though. I love it. Okay, so now I would love to do a lightning round with you and ask you five unknown to you questions. So answer as fast as you can. There's no wrong answer, but don't mess this up. I'm just kidding. Okay, would you rather be able to teleport anywhere or read minds?
Teleport. I don't want to know what people are thinking.
No, that's my exact thought. That sounds so terrible. Where would you go if you could go anywhere right now?
Anywhere right now, I want to go to one of those... you know those islands that have those like tiki huts in the middle of the ocean and then they have like the glass bottoms and you can see the ocean?
Yes.
They have them like in, I don't know, like Tahiti or something.
Yes,
like,
I've seen them in the magazines.
Yes, I've seen them like on TV, you know?
Yes.
Like I want to go there.
Sounds so fun.
That's where I want to go. Yeah.
I love that. I would go somewhere in Europe. I don't even know. I want to have like pizza in Italy. I don't know why.
Yes. Actually, I went to Italy on our honeymoon.
Was it good?
10 years ago. So we did a cruise, and so it was like a Mediterranean cruise. So we got to go to like Italy and Greece and Turkey and everything.
Oh my goodness.
But by the time we went to Italy, my husband and I had had a scooter accident in Greece in our previous stop.
Yeah.
And my knee was busted. Like it was horrible, and I could barely walk. So we didn't get to see that much in Italy.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm still like, babe, like, I still haven't let it go. You know, I'm like, listen, yeah. You need to take me back to Italy. Because what we did was we got on one of those double-decker buses and rode around. So we saw Italy from, like, the bus.
Oh, that makes me sad. Because
I couldn't walk. Yeah, I know. I was like, I did have pizza, though, and it was good. And gelato.
There you go. Oh, man, I'm sad for you about that. Okay.
I know.
What is invisible, but you wish you could see it?
Oh, I wish I could see people's, like, energy. I don't know. Some people think they can see energy.
Like
I don't know. Maybe
their aura
they can
or whatever.
Like their
yeah.
aura. But like, I want to see people's energy because sometimes, like I just want to know what people are really feeling.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So like, that you could help, or why would you?
Right.
Wanna...
So I could like relate to them.
Okay. I love it.
Because I think sometimes a lot of people like either mask their feelings or they like pretend they're something that they're not. And I want to know like what's really going on. You know, mm-hmm. like, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you worried about something? I think that's part of my personality. I'm like, I don't want all this like pretend stuff. Like, I want to know what's really happening. Let's go deep and let's do this, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That's so nice. Cause I just want to see germs. you're such a nice person.
That would be helpful.
Well, not like all of them, but like, have you seen that article or whatever where they did an expose on how hotels aren't changing the sheets and people are sleeping in it.
And they have like the black light and everything.
Yeah, like that's the kind of stuff I'd like to see. Like, Harold slept here for 3 nights and nobody changed. You know, I would want to know that. Okay, what personality trait do you wish that you had? So you're a 5.
Yes, I am a 5 on the Enneagram, yes.
So that is pretty like direct and like, tell me about a 5.
So 5s we're investigators and we're very observant. And we compartmentalize a lot. So I feel like I don't like it when my worlds collide, you know, like mm-hmm. I have like my friends and then I have like my family and then I have like my church world and my other world, you know, I have like everything like kind of separate and it's very uncomfortable for me when things mix.
Okay.
And then I'm also very uncomfortable with like when people cry in front of me, I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay. What do I do? Okay, do I hug you? Do I not? Because I'm also not big on touch.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know if that's a 5 thing or a me thing.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm a complicated individual.
Okay, yeah.
But I think what I would wish that I was better at was empathy.
That's interesting because
like
you want to be able to know people's feelings. Like that seems so empathetic.
I know, but that's the thing. Because like, I think a truly empathetic person knows people's feelings.
Oh, I get it.
You know what I mean? Okay. I feel like some people can walk into a room and look at them like that person is hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or that person is, you know, and I feel like I kind of don't have that.
Okay.
I'm like a more of like a business person. Like, okay, let's get down to business. Da 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 da. And then I'm like, later I think like, wait, were they sad? Or like, wait, you know, like, or like I forget. I'm like, oh, wait, but how are you really? Like, what's going on? You know, like that's kind of like an afterthought for me. So that's why I want to like work on it more.
Yes. I love it. See, I can pick up on that stuff, and I wish I couldn't because I pick up what people are putting down, regardless of if I'm even trying to, as far as what their scent, like their vibe they're giving. And so if somebody is like really, really negative, even if they're not, they don't have to be saying anything, they don't have to be slamming things around, I know what's going on, or I at least have a sense of it. And so I can't go about what I'm doing until they're better. And that's really bad when you have like a really mad kid and you're trying to read a book or what, you know what I mean? Like,
and I don't care. I'm like, whatever, that's your problem. Bye.
It's good. I know. I need a little more of what you've got. Okay. So what would be your strategy for surviving the apocalypse?
The funny thing is that I always tell my husband, I'm like when we're watching those movies where like someone's chasing you or something's happening, like The Walking Dead or, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. I'm like, listen, babe, just so you know, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to try to run away. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm just going to like be there and be like, whatever, just kill me. Okay. Just like I'm tired. Just kill me.
So funny.
And he's like, babe, don't say that. You know, like, come on, you got to fight for your life and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. So I really don't have a strategy. My strategy is just to follow my husband, whatever he's doing.
Okay. That's a good idea. I didn't think about that. My husband's always like, we'll just make a pool in our backyard and we'll grow tilapia fish. And then he likes to do this survival stuff. He doesn't actually do it, but you can grow fish in your pool and then like plants on top. He tries to talk to me about like in the deep end, you can do things, and in the shallow end, you could do a different thing.
Interesting.
And I'm like, oh, are you becoming
a crazy person?
I'm just going to
find whoever's
person?
Already doing that, and I'm going to go live with them.
Yes. So find a survivalist person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have no strategy. Dig a hole and bury myself in it and just...
Just pray.
That's a good, oh, that was my first thought, I mean. Okay. What is something you can't stop talking about right now?
Oh, something I can't stop talking about. Ooh,
is there like
so
a product
things.
Or anything that's helping you in your move or?
Oh, no. I've been very avoiding everything with regards to the move. I just kind of like, everyone's like, have you started packing yet? I'm like, no, it'll happen. I mean, actually, it's going to get done, right? That's true. So no. I mean, I really love the Enneagram. Like you mentioned, like I talk about the Enneagram all the time to the point that people are like, okay, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. What do you love about it so much?
I just feel like it's really opened my eyes to so many things. Like I didn't realize the whole thing about like compartmentalizing or stuff like that. That's about my person. I thought it was just me, Okay. But I realized that it's not just me. So I feel less special, but then I also feel more understood.
Yes, that's
like,
so
okay,
good.
There's other people like that, and then I feel like I understand other people as well. Like people that I've had difficult relationships with, I'm like, oh, it's because you're probably this number. And you don't have bad intentions. It's just that we see things in a different way. You know, so I feel like I have more compassion for people. I feel like my husband and I relate to each other in a better way because he's realizing the flaws in his personality. So I don't have to tell him anymore. and like we realize each other's flaws and we realize like, again, like that it's not coming from a bad place. It's coming from just like a different perspective.
Yeah. What's
and
your
even
husband?
With my kids, he's a 9. He's a peacemaker.
My husband is too.
Yeah. So a lot of times when I've been like, just tell me what you really think. Like it's because he's been wanting to keep the peace.
Know.
You know, it's not
yes.
like he's hiding anything. It's just that he's like, doesn't understand how to tell me without making somebody mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah. So you're
even
saying it helped
kids,
with your kids?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I have always kind of understood my son because we're very similar. And I kind of like get him. I understand how to talk to him and how to discipline him in a way that's going to be effective. Mm-hmm. But with my daughter, she's just like been this whole other deal that I'm like, I don't understand you. I do the same thing with you that I do with my son, but you're like, you don't care, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's because she's just a totally different personality type.
Yeah.
And so I have found little ways to figure out how to like get her to, you know, get dressed in the morning without it being a fight or like, you yeah. know what I mean?
Yes. That's so good. Did you read The Road Back to You or have you read a
yes.
book that you, okay.
Yeah. The Road Back to You. Yeah. I read that one and it was so eye-opening that yes. I like told my husband to read it. I told my mom to read it. I told my dad to read it. I'm like, everyone read this book. And then I listened to the podcast. Like there's a Road Back to You podcast.
Oh, I need to listen to
and
that.
And then, yeah. And then Ian Cron has another podcast called Typology. That I listen to.
I'm writing all this down.
That's
this
great.
Minute.
Yes, write it down.
And then The Path Between Us, isn't that the second one? There's another
yes,
book.
There's another. I haven't read it. I don't know if it came out already.
Well, I'm listening to it on Audible, so if it hasn't come out, it's
okay.
at least come out into my ears.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's so good because it's all about relationships.
Yes. I like told my husband about it because I'm like, we need to read this.
Yeah, it's really so, good because my daughter's an 8, and so she mm-hmm. she's all about the fight.
Yes. I love 8s.
Do you love an 8?
I do.
I have an 8. You can. I'll trade you for whatever your girl
my
is. You, I might get
my
her.
My daughter's a 7, which okay. everyone loves 7s because they're so like happy and. But it's just like hard for me. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we have work to do. Why are you just like out having fun? Like my poor daughter.
That's so funny.
But 8s are more like I don't know. Like I feel like I just relate to them really
like
well.
Like a steamroller.
Yes.
Well, because they're getting stuff done, right? And
yeah, exactly.
And you like yeah. that, too. It's business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, man. People are exhausting.
I know.
And great, right?
And so, very interesting.
So fascinating. Awesome. Well, Christelle, thank you so much. This was a really great time talking to you.
Yes, I love talking to you. Yeah. I can't believe that we met, like, all those years ago.
Was it, like, 6 years ago?
Yeah, and it was, like, so random because we ended up being roomies.
Just being roomies.
Then, like, this is random.
Rooming with the strangers.
I know. Like, hopefully you're not weird, but you're not weird.
I'm not weird. You're not weird either.
No, thanks.
So, yeah. Well, happy moving.
Yes, thank you so much.
I really love that chat with Christelle. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week based on what she said? I've really not done a great job of telling you kind of the thinking behind changing from Mom Struggling Well to the Struggle Well Project. I came up with 6 words that I feel like encompass the various parts of ourselves that we can kind of focus on to see if we're actually struggling well. Just kind of helps me feel less overwhelmed if I can be a little more specific than to just generally say, struggling well, I feel like, no, I'm not. So the six that I kind of want to put these interviews into little categories of would be identity, our body. That would include anything regarding wellness. So food, movement, all that kind of stuff. Then family, community, sanctuary, so like your home, and spirituality. I've been meaning to tell you guys about that and explain it a little bit better. And I keep forgetting that I'm the boss of this and I have to remember to do that. So I think this week, as I kind of thought about what we chatted over, I feel like this could fit into three categories: community, family, and identity. So regarding struggling well as it pertains to community, Chriselle has moved away from everything that is familiar and comfortable, which is going to cause her to really have to reach out, and it's going to be uncomfortable for a while. A way I'm going to struggle well in my community that I already know, been here for 6 years now, is I am going to throw a party with my friend Liz for the ladies on our street. I know a lot of my neighbors, but mostly they don't live on my street. So even though I think from the social medias, you probably think I know all my neighbors, I really know just some of them really, really well. So I am getting out of my comfort zone. I am struggling well this week by inviting all of the women who live on my entire street over for dinner. I hope it's not a disaster. Stay tuned. Follow along on Instagram at Struggle Well Project to watch the saga unfold. So maybe this week you want to struggle well in the area of family. Chriselle talked a lot about the importance of having hard conversations with our kids. Honestly, I think it makes us more uncomfortable than it makes them. Except for if you're talking about puberty. I think that makes them pretty doggone uncomfortable. So maybe you struggle well this week by having hard conversations, leaning into them, asking questions. I put a link in the show notes for episode 149 for a resource on how to have hard conversations with your kids in case that topic makes you super stressed out. So finally, maybe you want to struggle well this week in the area of identity. Chriselle talked about counseling. She talked about depression. I honestly feel like I beat this drum all the time, but I also think it's really important. You are not a failure if you go to counseling. I go to counseling, and I would like to hazard a guess that God can use counselors. I can tell you that I will be wrestling with something that I don't even know how to put into words. I don't even know that I'm wrestling with it. I've just got like a angst over something. And then my counselor will say something and it just clears it up. The book of James says that all good gifts come from our Father in heaven. When I have a breakthrough in counseling and it changes the way I love my family, I would consider that a good gift. So if you are struggling, just feeling junky and you don't know why, I hope that Chriselle's words on depression and what that feels like, maybe you're like, oh yes, that is what's going on with me. I also put a link in the show notes to a book that I am fascinated by right now called Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. You can find a link to that in the show notes at episode 149 at strugglewellproject.com. All right, friends, do me a favor and share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it. If you love the show, I'm pretty sure they will too. Your recommendations legitimately mean the world to me. Thank you so much for sharing this podcast. Go ahead also and hit the subscribe button on your podcast app to make sure that you don't miss next week when I talk to Jamie Golden about a whole lot of funny things. If you don't know Jamie Golden, she is one of my favorites. All right, so it is time for Katie and I to discuss our favorite items that someone in this distinguished community has purchased using the show's Amazon affiliate link. That link is amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. Bookmark that link and use it when you shop on Amazon. You'll be helping the show and it doesn't cost you anything. Thank you, by the way, to all of you who use it. It makes a difference. It really does. So I found that someone bought this really great idea that I actually might make my children do. It's a book that teaches you how to draw all the United States of America.
That's perfect.
Just so you know where they are. Anyway, I just thought it was really, really brilliant and I loved it.
What is it, a dot to dot?
No, it like teaches you the general shape of the states and then where it goes so that you can draw all of them and know where they are.
I like it.
Can I tell you that when I worked in the jail and I was a high school teacher, I made my students all do this?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when I was in college, my geography teacher made us draw the whole world, every country. So like the final exam was make a globe, like topographically, like where the mountains are, where the beaches are. And then, well, mom painted it and it I immediately got an A because it was beautiful. She had painted the like depths of the oceans different colors of blue.
Of course.
But I made it like with paper mache and everything. So I'm the real winner here.
I'm going to say that's 5% of why you got the grade you did.
What I did. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't even check to see if everything was where it was supposed to be. It was just so beautiful that he's like 100%.
Right. Of course. So, anyway. Absolutely.
But he also made it. He gave us a big blank sheet of paper and we had to draw every country from memory. Just shapes where they go. I don't think we had to label. We probably had to label them. I don't remember. Anyway, so that made me think, oh, why don't I do that with my students? I mean, they've got a lot of time there incarcerated
right.
with the United States of America. And then I'd buy them whenever they could do it in front of me from memory perfectly. I gave them like a king size candy bar.
That's so nice.
They were super pumped about that.
Yeah, I bet. And that's so good because muscle memory, when you're writing it out, it's in there forever.
It's in there.
Unless you're me, you forget everything.
Well, and I never even learned how to do it myself.
Shoot.
I just made them do it because I can go and get a candy bar whenever I want it.
Exactly. No commissary required.
Yeah. The moral of the story, don't go to jail. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you are a God who is not afraid of hard things. You don't shy away from us when we're having hard times. You didn't shy away from your own hard times. And frankly, you, when you were on this earth, your hard times were way more intense than most of our hard times. So like the book of Hebrews says, we do not serve a high priest who is unacquainted with our sufferings. So this week, God, I pray that these ladies and myself would individually come to you and pour out our struggles before you, knowing that you get it and you're not afraid of them or us while we're going through them. I pray that you'd help us to lean into hard conversations, that we would enter into conflict, seeing it as an opportunity, that we wouldn't tense up and get big or shrink down and try to disappear into the background, but that we would enter into these conversations seeking unity and speaking and moving out of a place of a deep knowing of how much you love us. We don't have to fight for our place at the table. You have set a table for us. God, this week, I pray for myself as I go to get out of my comfort zone and knock on doors and invite every woman to my house. Lord, I pray for these women listening that they would do weird and hard things in the name of community as well. I thank you for Christelle. I thank you for her strong voice. I pray that you bring her more community to surround her than she can even fit into her schedule. In Jesus' name, amen.